Have the blessings, everyone. If you can please kneel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us again as we gather on Sabbath. Thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for being with us last night as we gathered for prayer and for study and for praise. And thank you for the way that you guide us each and every day, each and every hour of the day. Thank you for blessing our wisdom, our faith, our discernment, our character, and our courage. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we left off on question number 6. And the question is, let me just make sure I got the recorder going here. Oh, yeah, there it is. Excuse me. All right, question number 6. The resurrected and the living righteous will then be caught up together to meet the Lord. Where? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And keep in mind, when it says we which are alive and remain, that's the Gideon band. That's the... There's only going to be 144,000 Christians, according to the book of Revelation, that will be alive when that eastern sky splits. All the other Christians that weren't able to make it through the plagues will have died martyrs' deaths. You know, they would have died previously to the plagues beginning. And let's say there's, like right now, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and then there would be only 144,000 that were headed home. And that's why Jesus also said it would be like in the days of Noah. You know, 8 people on the ark, and that was it. Everybody else, you know. Yeah, exactly. They died for their faith. So, why are we meeting the Lord in the clouds? Well, do you recall in Matthew 26 where the Pharisees were questioning Jesus before the court? It says in verses 63 and 64 that the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God. Now, and that's something. Before I finish the verse, I mean, they, these guys are men of the cloth. These guys are supposed to be the ones that understood the scriptures from front to back. But yet they didn't know who was standing right in front of them. It's just like with everybody today. Most people today can literally read the Bible cover to cover and not understand anything that's going on in the world because, first of all, they're reading from corrupted Bibles that have thousands of verses missing, like the NIV in them. And secondly, they allow their pastors to tell them what the scriptures mean, instead of allowing the Bible to explain itself. And so most people, most Christians that I've run across in my life, I've yet to run across a Sunday-keeping Christian that knows that the true Israel is not the people in Jerusalem. You know, they're not there. But they believe they are because all their pastors say they are. So anyway, Jesus answers them, and he says this. He says, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, of course, they accused him of blasphemy at this time, but and then they started to beat on him and spit on him, but Jesus wasn't kidding. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In other words, so be it. It's not anything that can be controlled at this point because the seventh plague is falling. And before the first plague even started to fall, he dropped the censer. In other words, whoever's just is going to remain that way. Whoever's holy is going to remain that way. And whoever's unjust is going to remain that way as well. And so the Gideon band will be the only ones alive at that time, and they won't be preaching. You know, there will be no need to call people to Christ because they can't be called anymore. They are permanently lost, and they're going to have to live those months or a year, if you will, because the Bible does say the plagues fall within a day in Revelation. And we know Ezekiel 4:6 or Numbers 14:34 both say a day equals a year in prophecy. So anyway, going on, where Jesus is saying here, not only does he come with the clouds, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians here, those that pierced him will also see him coming. And that's why Jesus told the Pharisees and everyone in the court that day that they should see him in the clouds. Every single one of them will be resurrected on that day, along with the dead in Christ, to see the one that they beat, spit on, crucified, and whatever. You know, they're going to see him as the glorified King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So not only the righteous will arise on that day, but many of the wicked will as well. And Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers, the popes, and every person that ever persecuted Christ or any of his followers will arise on that day to see him glorified. And yes, even those that have attacked God's remnant people will arise if, in fact, they die before that day comes, because Jesus also said in Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And so our King is going to come on those clouds because he is King. And Psalm 104, verses 1 to 3 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself in light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. And who could forget what those angels said the day Jesus ascended into the clouds before the eyes of many? It says in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, that when he had spoken these things while they beheld, when they were watching this, the apostles, it was the last things that he said to him while he was on earth, he was taken up, it says, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them with white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So yes, that's why he comes on the clouds. And I have to ask, how is it possible for all this to be done in secret? You know, that secret rapture theory that's going around? I mean, how can the Pharisees see him coming on the clouds if this is all hidden from sight? Because, they, you know, those who have pierced him have to see him. See, that thing I don't even mention that in my rapture book, where I expose that false theory of the secret rapture. The thought just comes to mind that if they're going to get up too and they're going to see him, you know, rising the dead and then him leaving with them, and then, of course, the seventh plague obliterating them, how is that done in secret? That's just something they will not mention from those pulpits that say such things. And all, every single solitary one of these Sunday-keeping churches preach that, every one of them. And so it's a dangerous place to be, because they're going to plant seeds of doubt into your heart. And just like seeds of truth can be watered by the Holy Spirit, seeds of doubt can be watered by Satan, because you gave him permission to put them there. So anyway. And another thing, how can the popes or anyone else that was persecuted, that had persecuted Christians all throughout time, how can they see him? And so, no, the Bible's clear. Every eye will see him, and every eye will see us ascend to meet him in the air as well. So, all right, question number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall..." Oh, wait, what was the question? I just went ahead and read the verse. When Jesus comes, what will he do to the wicked? Thanks, Corin. And it says 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. But if you believe the lying preachers and the pastors of today, the wicked are not destroyed at his coming." But then again, that's what Satan's been saying for 6,000 years anyway. Remember when he told Eve in the garden to get her to eat that fruit? "Ye shall not surely die." You know, he twisted truth, and he called our God a liar. they are given a second chance to live under a, you know, that this is what they preach. That they are going to get a second chance to live, yeah, but it ain't going to be like they're saying, you know, during the 1,000-year reign where, where they reign with Christ or whatever, even if they're wicked, they'll get a second chance to get right with Christ. No. The only second chance they get is to breathe again before they get obliterated for all eternity. I mean, that's it. I mean, and the scriptures do not say that you are alive forever in hellfire. It does say eternal hellfire, but that word eternal is used in the same context as it's used when you speak of the eternal fire of an atomic blast. As long as there's fuel, it will burn. It'll be eternal for the fuel. The problem here is the people, the wicked, are the fuel. So to them, that fire is eternal. Not only does it burn until there's nothing left of them, it eternally destroys them. Because the wages of sin doesn't say eternal life in fire, like Catholic Church teaches and everybody else teaches, because the Bible said all the world will wander after the beast, and so they teach their doctrines too, because they're the ones that came up with that invention of eternal life in fire. And they got it right from Satan out of the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die, you know, so Satan's going to get to rule. And if you notice some of the pictures that the Catholic Church artists have painted over the years, I remember this as a Catholic. Some of the paintings that they've made where they show people falling into hell and how the devil's poking them with pitchforks and stuff. And some of these things were amazingly graphic. And they would show how you can't be killed by the pitchforks, but you can be tortured by the pitchforks. In other words, this one guy was close up to the front of the painting, and it was kind of like a Norman Rockwell kind of an artist where he really was accurate. And the painting was beautiful, but very graphic. And one of the pitchforks was hitting a guy on the right next to his eye, like on the bone right next to the eye as on the side of your head, not the closest to the nose, the other side. And the pitchfork was stretching the bone and the skin out a good, I'd say, 10 inches away from the body. And then he's getting stabbed in the gut, and it's going through him, but not breaking the skin. You know what I mean? It was just, and this is what they paint, and this is what they teach, that Satan will rule in hell, and this is not what the Bible says. I mean, the truth is here, the very fact that Jesus is alive and sitting upon his throne before all is what actually kills the wicked. All their lives, they have lied about Jesus in a bevy of ways. People like Oprah have declared he is merely one of many ways to seek self-awareness. Muslims and Buddhists declare him nothing more than a prophet. Atheists claim that he just never existed at all. And the Vatican declares his mother is more worthy of worship than he is. But now, on this day, he is alive and truly visible as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that fact alone proves they have all lied and sought to take his throne from him. In so doing, they are now worthy of death, because the fact he's alive proves they lied. And so they, you know, the wages of sin is death. So they have to get the just deserts for their actions. And another reason for the brightness of his coming having such an effect on all the world is that Satan does directly, what he does directly before Jesus comes. I mean, notice verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, it's saying, now this is another verse you're not going to hear from those secret rapture pulpits or the seven-year trib pulpits. It's saying here clearly that Jesus comes after, because it says even him, speaking of Jesus, is coming after Satan does a wonderful worldwide, you know, power signs and lying wonders. If the end gets near, you know, closer to us, Satan will punch up a false revival as he's doing right now. Like none other in the history of man is going to get really, really graphic out there. I mean, now, there's this one, Greg Laurie, that's his name. And I don't think it's any actor. It's this preacher that, a pastor of some false church. He's trying to get 1,000 churches to join him, to do this global revival. And the SDA church has already started there, what I call false revivals, because it's just lip service is all it is. They're standing out on their pulpits and I actually made a video about false revivals and was more or less pointing out what they're doing in the SDA church. They're trying to get the people in a fervor to get them to stay in the church, because the truth we're proclaiming is actually pulling the people out because they love the truth. There's a lot of the people of God in that church. And they're in all the churches. I mean, Revelation 18 isn't just pointing at one church. I mean, this is, it includes the Catholic churches as well as the Muslims and all the other strange churches. And so Satan does this false revival, and he's building it up to a fervor now because he knows a latter rain is falling upon the remnant people. It says in Matthew, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 19, or 15 to 19, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." We've seen that. "They shall speak with new tongues." I've heard of that. You know, I haven't personally witnessed it yet where I'm standing in front of a bunch of people that don't speak my language, and then I speak in English, and then they hear it in their own language. Right? I've heard of other preachers, you know, like in Chinese, and one guy was speaking Swahili, even though he didn't know how to speak it. But it also says they shall take up serpents, and we don't want to take that out of context, like some of them are doing in Florida where they're dancing with serpents. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." I've personally witnessed that. We were at a restaurant. This was years ago. I was in sales, and I stopped, like on Friday night, Friday we got paid, and the salesmen went to a local greasy spoon or whatever, and we all had the exact same meal. It was the special. I was the only one that gave thanks. Everybody else ended up in severe pain of food poisoning, really bad case of food poisoning, but I didn't. And it says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We've seen that. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now notice how directly before Jesus ascends, as he will soon ascend, he speaks of signs following his people. The signs come first, and then we ascend as did our Lord. Satan knows all too well this is prophesied to occur. So he needs to create a counterfeit revival so as to combat the truth that will cause him to lose many souls under his spell. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24 that there will arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I don't know how they do this, but I think that's pretty clear there. I mean, plain English saying that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect, right? But there's actually pastors out there that says, look, this verse proves that the elect are going to get deceived. I says, where are you getting that from, that verse? Even the grammar can't back that up. I mean, it's just strange how they're coming up with that. But we've seen many people over the years that have proclaimed themselves prophets and Christs, but none of them have had any major signs as of yet. That day is still before us. We have yet to see, and not even Benny Hinn, because he's just a charlatan. He ain't healing anybody, you know. But we have yet to see Satan's power and signs and lying wonders that prophecy speaks of. We need to understand, if the latter rain is to be that powerful, in where we have a blessing upon us that is more abundant than the apostles had in their day, then Satan has to get a bit more graphic here as well. I believe this is one of the reasons we see guys like Maitreya starting to gain popularity. He has yet to be pushed into the limelight, but his day is no doubt coming soon because we're already getting a report that he is magically appearing before many witnesses. He's waving his arm to cause food and livestock appear in a closed room in front of hundreds of witnesses, or like a hall or whatever, like a convention center. And then reports of his so-called holy hand appearing on a mirror in Barcelona, which persists even after they wiped it off. And so, yes, Satan's setting the stage as we speak right now to combat what the Lord has promised to do before all on earth very soon. He has to do this because we're going to do what we're going to do. Prophecy, sure, it's going to happen. And one more thing. Verse 9 clearly says here that Jesus is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders. All the churches are declaring that Jesus comes first to secretly rapture his people, and then Satan does his signs and lying wonders for 7 years after that. But this verse clearly says those signs come first, and then Jesus returns. This is why it's so important to read your Bibles each and every day. Even if you don't understand it at first, don't worry about it. Your Father knows your heart, and he knows you're trying your best. He's going to open it up to you. And it's amazing how he does. You could be dumb as a rock, and by the end of a year or so, you have this amazing wisdom from on high. It's amazing. And if you don't read your Bible and you go into one of these churches, you know, the way they purposely leave out Bible verses and take verses and others out of context, their sermons will appear to be filled with amazing truths. I mean, we were enraptured by them for many decades, as I remember as a young man. And then when my wife and I left the Catholic Church, we hopped around a bunch of churches. We kind of stuck in the Baptist churches mostly, because they always had Bibles in their hands, and that's what we preferred. And but the thing was, some of their statements, it was so believable until we really started studying the Word. And we were reading it for a while, then we were getting into it, and it was just amazing how they were being so crafty in their approach, but yet they didn't realize what they were doing, because Daniel 8:25 says it's, you know, the devil himself that pushes forward that craftiness. But if you know about these verses that you leave out, that's why the Word, our Lord and Savior, said the elect cannot be deceived, because John 14:26 also says he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever you said unto you. So when you hear these crazy theories that they preach on these pulpits, if you have read your Bible, you can't be deceived, because he's going to bring it to your remembrance. So question number 8. And the question is, wait a second here. Okay. It says, how does Revelation describe what happens to those who are not saved when Jesus comes? And it says in Revelation 19, verses 19 to 21. I jumped up a couple extra verses there. Sorry about that. It says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And so, yeah, that's another thing you're going to have to look out for. If you don't have your Bible handy, Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And one of the major fruits are, of course, do they keep the law? And then you got these false prophets that come forward and do these amazing miracles for people who are going to actually be healed. And it's only because the devil that holds on to them and causes their disease or causes their crippling problem, whatever it is told by Satan, his main demon, you know, their boss, to let go. When they let go, the healing looks valid, and it is valid because the demon let go. And so, you know, if you're not walking with Christ, if you haven't been reading the Word, you're going to believe that's the power of God, when in fact it's just the power of the devil. And because you know, according to the Scriptures, he ain't preaching the truth. And so how can he preach the truth? And that's what some of the people's excuses are going to be. It says, oh, it has to be Christ. I mean, how could it not be Christ? Because he healed me, you know. The devil can't do, and you're not going to be able to convince those kind of people, because they have stepped into the presence of that demon. They have denied what Jesus said when he said, don't go there. They have received the mark. There's nothing you can do at that point. And going on, it says, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, if you read the previous verses, you're going to find it is Jesus upon that horse. In prophecy, the word sword equals the word of God. This is why the sword comes out of the Lord's mouth in the vision. In his scriptures, proclaimed his truth from day one, out of the mouths of babes, prophets, and teachers. That fact alone is why the wicked die on this day. They have proclaimed all their lives that the word of God spoke, which Christ spoke, was untrue. Yet he stands before them as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, we also see Paul speaking of this exact same judgment call upon the wicked, where it says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And then the notes go on to quote from Isaiah 24, verses 1, 3, and 20, which speaks of this day. It says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scatter abroad the inhabitants thereof. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. So, amen. Let's see if we got time for... Yep, okay, number 9. Question number 9 says, Jeremiah was shown the desolate condition of the earth after that time. How will it resemble the way it was before the creation of man? And Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23 says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And it's really amazing to me how the churches that preach a secret rapture or a thousand years of peace on earth theology miss this well-known fact in Scripture. How can it be secret when directly after the rapture, the world is without form and void? And similar to as it was in Creation Week. Or how can mankind experience peace, joy, happiness, and long life for a thousand years on the planet directly after Jesus returns when Jeremiah clearly states the world will be without form and void? This is yet another of literally hundreds of verses that prove reading your Bible for yourself is so very much important, especially since we are in the last days when the prophets proclaim that the overwhelming majority of the preachers, the pastors, and the teachers will be in it for the money. They'll be in it for self-recognition, and they'll be downright evil. If people want to believe the secret rapture theorists or the 1,000-year falsehood, it's only because they simply don't have the desire to know the truth. No more can the excuse that the Bible is too hard to understand can be given as an excuse when we look around and see inventions of mankind like holograms or space flight or LCD paper for that matter. If mankind can figure out how to create such amazing inventions, how's it he can't understand a Bible? I mean, that makes no sense. Especially now, since we're in the last days when Daniel chapter 12 says the knowledge has not only increased in materialistic things, it has also increased in spiritual things as well. But the lusts of the flesh have an amazing ability to keep man's eyes focused in an area that is much more desirable to him than his own salvation. Now that's amazing. But they don't see it. All right, maybe we can do one more here. I don't know, number 10. Go through these pretty quick this week. Okay, number 10 says, will anyone be left on the earth? And, of course, the answer is Jeremiah 4:25. It says, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were fled. And that's why we learned earlier that in prophecy, I believe it was in Revelation 19, verse 21, where it says that the fowls were filled with their flesh because they're going to be dead, and the birds will eat them. Now, keep this in mind, though. I don't know if anybody has seen, there's like a town near here called Fowler, Indiana. Well, not near, it's probably 15 miles from here, or 20, I don't know, maybe 15, but it's got what do they call that, Kingdom Hall, the Jehovah Witnesses Church, it's called Kingdom Hall. You'll notice it has absolutely no windows, and it's made out of brick. They're always made out of big, thick bricks. And the door, there's only one door to get in. It's usually a double door. And it's got to be all of 3 inches thick of oak, solid oak. And there's a reason. The Jehovah Witnesses actually preach that they will be left alive on earth to bury all the dead bodies. And I only know this because they have stepped on my front porch and my back porch and my side porch over the years. And I have been blessed with an opportunity to share the truth with them. And after doing so, they don't seem to come back, sadly. They cite this verse as evidence. But they refuse to share the next verse that proves they lied. You can see this verse posted in the study. It's from Jeremiah 25:33, and it says, and the slain of the Lord shall be on that day, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, and they shall be not lamented, neither gathered nor buried, they shall be as dung upon the ground. But not only does Jeremiah 4 say no man was to be seen on the earth, and then later in chapter 25 he says no one will bury them. I mean, this is why it's so important to read your Bibles again. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses are the perfect example of this, and no, it's not just because they ignored this easy-to-find truth. They have many doctrines that are easily proven false in the Bible. And worst of all, they have predicted the world was to come to an end on specific dates literally dozens of times. I went to a website that was exposing this, and I could not believe how many, because I did something on this many years ago, and I found about 24 times, but it's a lot more than that, I found out. They've come up with these strange predictions. And then I also see the Jehovah's Witnesses Church as a bold example of all churches today. It's kind of like Satan boasting to God, saying he can easily deceive the people by simply tempting them to ignore their very own Bibles. I mean, because when they stand on your back porch or your side porch or whatever, they got a Bible in their hands sometimes. I said, do you read this thing? I mean, every Jehovah's Witness, like every Pentecostal or every Baptist, has a Bible, yet none of them seem to read it or at least take God at his word. They prefer to believe their leaders' extra-biblical interpretations instead. Jesuits are infamous for doing this. When they are asked a Bible question, they will speak on in great lengths without ever allowing the Bible to explain the verse in question. That's what I love about the way our Lord Jesus taught. You ask him a question about a Bible verse, and we'll give you a Bible verse that answers it, and that's it. It's over with. It's done with. You understand, right? But the Jesuits, they'll go on forever, as will others, to try to gild the lily, to try to beat around the bush, to try to get you to understand the way they see it. I remember reading a quote, and I got it on the Words of a Beast page someplace, where the Jesuits, actually, the Roman Catholic Jesuit, and these guys are usually the teachers, the main teachers. I mean, look at Georgetown University. They taught just about every mainstream politician that we ever have in this nation come out of Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and that's Jesuit run. These guys literally have stated in writing that if they say to you that the white wall that you're looking at is black, you have to believe it is black, because they said so, period. And this is why Roman Catholicism is the way it is. It's blind faith, and this is why all the other churches are going in that direction now. And this is why the pastors get upset when you question what they say. They say, look, you're supposed to believe me blindly. I'm your pastor. Trust me, you idiot. And this is how they are today. They get very upset with you, and they kick you out of the church if you don't believe exactly the way they preach it. Even though you could have the Bible verses in your hands, like that one, my pastor in a Catholic church many, many years ago. This is why I left. He said, quit reading the Bible, Nicholas. It's confusing you. So, anyway, Jeremiah also proves that the secret rapture and the seven-year trib and the 1,000 years of peace on earth is also a lie. All three strange theologies depict the world with mankind still residing on it alive after Jesus comes, yet Jeremiah says they're all dead from one side of the earth to the other. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.